Welcome back, everyone, to this 46th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, I am great.
It's been a crazy month. I mean, it's been more than a month since the last time we talked. And while we have so much to talk about, I mean, we actually were going to record an episode about 2 weeks ago, and we never got around to it. But, I mean, I finished the book, Edge of Destiny, and then you, where did you go? You went somewhere. I forgot.
I went to Seattle. I even have to sing about it.
That's right. Seattle. I totally forgot. No, I didn't forget at all. This entire episode is going to be about Ruby's trip to Seattle, to the ArenaNet headquarters, the studio there, talk about your experiences there and what you saw. And just let me sit here and be jealous and ask you questions and things like that.
Oh, it would have been more fun if you had gone too. But you were off. Weren't you somewhere too? I think you went somewhere.
Yeah, I was at this honeymoon thing. It was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how many things happened that week. Like, I got so many phone calls from people, you know, who were like, "Hey, we're gonna shut down Star Wars Galaxies. Can we do an interview?"
And I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay, and then, EVE Online is blowing up. Can we do an interview? And I'm like, can I just have a honeymoon?
These people were waiting for this, I swear.
Yeah. But it was a crazy week last week, I would say. And I'm really excited to be able to talk about all this, because it's been pretty crazy. One of the things, though, I want to mention before we start talking about that, as you may have heard, a lot of people who listen to this podcast are also fans of Relics of War. Ryan's podcast, he's been on the show. All the people from Relics have been on the show. Well, Ryan actually recently decided to stop the podcast. And we had talked before about me being on there more, and we were actually going to do something like that. But it's, he has his reasons for stopping the podcast. But the point of me mentioning this is that we're probably going to have a lot of the co-hosts that were on that show on this show more, like especially Tiger Feet. You know, she was very early on, kind of a fan of this show. You know, when we started, when we brought the show back, and she had some sound bites that she recorded, and so she was kind of a proponent of the show back then, and then she went on to become the co-host on Relics, and now I'm talking with her about getting her on this show and perhaps being a third, or perhaps we'll get a fourth or fifth or whatever member of the show, so it won't just be me and Ruby all the time.
And should we pause for the wild cheering here?
Exactly, that's what I was pausing for effect right there. But actually, what's funny is, even though we've been recording this a lot less frequently, we do have some pretty cool ideas in store. Actually, I'm talking with two separate people right now. One about a promotion that we're going to do pretty soon that I think people will love, and another one that I probably shouldn't mention until we get it all set up, but we have some big things in store. So, this is, even though, we're doing it less frequently, A, that might change, and B, we do have some pretty cool things in store. So, thank you, everyone, for kind of, sticking by us while we took the break to, do crazy things like get married and have honeymoon. I mean,
have lives.
Yeah. I mean, Ruby didn't do that. She did that a long time ago.
I already did that.
Long, long time ago.
Seriously, probably longer ago than a lot of these people have been alive.
That's, wow, that's a scary thought, but you're probably right.
I am like super old.
Okay, so now that we have that out of the way, let's talk about your trip. So go ahead, just ramble on, let us know, beginning to end, what you did, just go nuts. And I'm going to jump in with questions, I'm sure.
Oh, man, I do not even know where to start. Okay, let's see. Day one was the media day, and I was actually there there was a media open house on Thursday, and a community fan, Guild Wars 2 fan day is what it was called, the community open house on Friday. I was fortunate enough to get to stay for both of those. And the first thing that I really, really noticed was that I had more fun on the fan day. I saw most of the same things, but it's not that the media crew was like unenthusiastic or they were there and they didn't care, but they were there to work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were there. I mean, they were there to do their jobs. So the first thing we saw, we go into this enormous press room.
And actually, let me point something out real quick.
Okay.
Sorry, I totally just interrupted an awesome story, but I just want to point out real quick that this was actually for Guildcast. Like, this wasn't for Massively. You
Yeah, that
know?
was actually kind of an important point.
Yeah, because, I mean, like you said, they worked their butts off. They were there to work, and you were there as a fan. You know, you were there as part of the fan site, Guildcast. Of course, Massively can't, you know, accept, you know, travel things and things like that. So, I mean, this was for Guildcast. So you were, so it's a totally different thing, even though, you know, Massively did cover your coverage, you know, through Guildcast.
But you won't see me cover, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't you doing that. It was someone else writing up your coverage. So, I mean, it's kind of a strange thing, but yeah, it's very important to point out that you were there for Guildcast. So I think that actually that is more important, you know what I mean? Like, you were there as a fan. You were there as
Yeah,
someone who is
definitely.
just crazy about this game, rather than someone that was just there working and you know, I mean, not to say anything bad about the other media partners who were there,
Definitely
you know,
not.
but a lot of them have probably, you know, dabbled in Guild Wars. Maybe they follow Guild Wars 2 because it's so highly anticipated. But at the same time, you know, you're the one that's like, I love this game. I'm dedicated to this game. You know,
Yes.
I've been loving this game for years and years. And so, you know, you were very excited about it. So, okay, go ahead with your story.
Definitely. No, that's actually like a very good setup for the story. Because they showed us, you know, the Play Symphony that's going on out there right now. It's like a giant orchestral, and for those of you who don't know, it's this giant orchestral program, like live music with a full orchestra and a choir of game music. And then they've got, in the background, they've got the big screens. And as always, I'm gesturing because you can see me indicating how big these screens are. And Guild Wars 2 is a big part of this Play Symphony. So we got to go in the press room with the gigantic screen, and we got to see this Play Symphony cinematic that they've put together for this live music event. And unfortunately, we did not get to, they wouldn't let us record that or have it on a flash drive or anything. They said, there's some stuff in here that we have not released that we want to use later. So you can't, I'm sorry, you can't take pictures or recording or anything. But so they show this to us in the media, and it was just some of my favorite music by Jeremy Soule. And the press room has this big sound system, and the music's booming all around. And it ended, and I raised my hands to clap, and I look around, and everybody is just sitting there. So, and I mean, everybody's like writing, everybody's making notes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I like very awkwardly kind of put my hands down.
Oh, you didn't get a clap out? That would have been so
And
awesome.
that would have been even worse. So I kind of very awkwardly sat there and, you know, like a well-behaved little media outlet. And it was like that all the time. Everybody was there to work. They needed their interviews, and they needed their shots, and they needed this and this and that. And actually, and I won't be too mean about this because I really do like them, but the G4 people, they had a 7-foot boom mic and a camera the size of Rhode Island. And these people, they were like hell-bent on killing somebody with this equipment. So like we'd be walking in at one point, like the whole crowd of us, there's literally like 20 of us. And we're getting ready to walk into a room, and you know, the crowd of us were kind of at the door. You know how the whole crowd's like kind of funneling toward the door? And all of a sudden, the G4 guy, the cameraman, he runs up and starts like elbowing his way through the crowd. He's like, "Excuse me, I got to get in there real quick." Well, he had to run in there first and get so he could get the shot of Casey Schreiner walking in.
Oh, okay.
And that was like the whole thing. Half of my pictures from Media Day have like camera, you know how it looks like when somebody puts their finger over the lens by mistake? I have something like that, but it's G4 camera. Because the G4 was like, get out of the way, I got to get my shot.
So
So
are
that
you
was,
on the MMO report? Are we going to see you on there?
you know what, if I am on the MMO report, it's me diving out of the way of the camera or the boom mic, trying not to get a concussion. But everybody was, I mean, they were enthusiastic. I mean, they were happy to be there, and they thought it looked cool, but they were hardcore working. I actually kind of hooked up with Leslie from Curse.com. She was there, and it turns out Leslie's as big of a fangirl as I am.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, the media's trooping through, they're doing their thing, and every three steps, Leslie and I are like, "Oh, look at that!" So that was very, very cool. But that was kind of the vibe that day. And then we had the media dinner. We went to this really good restaurant called Barrio, and everybody kind of sat around talking and everything. And like you said, a lot of these people, they dabble or they follow it because it's the really big hot title. And a lot of the media, they kind of took that opportunity to talk to the devs and ask more questions and stuff. And I heard some questions, and this is where my little fangirl snobbery happens. I heard some questions, and I'm sitting there, I'm like rolling my eyes like, ugh, everybody knows that. So, and I just kind of sat there and smiled, and I was, you know, I was nice and polite.
Like, did anybody ask, will you be able to play the cat people? I just wanted
no, to... thank God. I think I would have had to leave the table to keep from just, like, throttling somebody. But, and this is actually something that was kind of funny. I was down at the end of a table. I shared creme brulee with Casey Schreiner, so that was, like, the highlight of my day.
Wait, you guys shared the same plate?
Yeah, we, like, the waitress, like, brought this dessert and four spoons because he didn't want, like, a whole dessert. And he was like, well, somebody please split this with me because we were all really, really full. So, Colin Johansson and Mike Z and Casey Schreiner and I, we all ate like the same creme brulee. So that was like my little brush with fame.
So you guys all share germs now, right?
We totally share germs. I'm gonna grow a beard pretty soon. I've got Casey germs and start like making fun of everything. But no, we were kind of sitting there and everybody's just chatting. The meal's over. We're doing dessert. And Mike Z turns to me and he's like, hey, I wanted to talk to you about something you wrote last year.
Uh-oh.
And man, you know, you like always love it when they say that because you're like, crap, what did
yeah,
I do?
Yeah.
And he said, and I don't know, there was this Flamesticker Chronicles I wrote on Massively about Hearts of the North. And I didn't love it. I don't know. Do you remember that article?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I seriously got hate mail about that. People were so angry with me. And one of the things that I kind of laughed about, and I just laughed about this because it was a funny mechanic. It wasn't that I thought it was broken or screwed up or they needed to fix it. But you got Kieran's bow from Gwen. Well, if you drop it on the ground, she'll give you another one. Uh-huh. And one of my guildmates, this girl that I play with quite a bit, she did that until she had like 50 bows on the ground and she sent me a screenshot. And I thought it was so funny. And I was like, doesn't he need those? I mean, no wonder he's in so much trouble out there. She's got all his weapons.
Yeah.
So Mike, he's like, okay, I just want to talk about that. In my defense, there is no other way to do that mechanic. The game has to be able to give you a bow whenever you need it, so it checks your inventory. There's nothing else we can do. I was like, man, I understand. I just thought it was funny is all.
Yeah.
So, and then he was like, but thank you for keeping us honest. And, you know, thank you for calling it like you see it. I was like, okay, you're welcome. That was really nice. And I said, but the bow thing was still pretty funny. So it was a very cool dinner. Okay, so that was the media day. And everybody was kind of working, and I felt like I had to be on my good behavior, and I couldn't freak out too loudly. And again, you know, like when I started to clap, and then I looked around and realized nobody else is doing. So then fan day happened, and that was the most awesome thing, because I was there, I was with my people. And we were all, I mean, it was like Ravius from Kill 10 Rats, mm-hmm. and Izzy from Talkteria was there, and just all of the, and the two contest winners, the video contest winners, and it was all these people, Neo Nugget from Guild Wars 2 Guru.
Oh, so Dan was there?
Dan was there. I got to meet Dan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Media Master 9000. And actually, we had this hilarious, it was like running across a field of flowers, you know? Because after the media dinner, well, okay, and this is another fun story. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep remembering cool stories.
That's fine.
My phone died. The thing about the ArenaNet offices, it turns out, is that there's very poor reception in there if you have AT&T.
So it's like most of America?
Oh, it's worse, man. It is seriously bad. And I have this little thing. Sean's seen it, but I have this little thing that's like a backup battery that my phone plugs into. It's like a little case for my phone. So I basically have two phone batteries. By, I think, like 5 p.m., those were both completely drained. And I'm getting these. There was a community. There was the fan dinner the same night as the media dinner because all the fans were getting in that evening, Thursday night. And they're texting me. Ravius is texting me back and forth, and he's like, hey, they're saying that if you want to get away from the media dinner, you can come to the fan dinner instead and hang out with us. And we're all really excited to see you. You know, we'd really like you to come to this thing. And hey, we talked to Regina. She said she'd give you a ride out there if you wanted to go. No, 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 no. And I get this voicemail. And then so I'm talking to the PR guy about this. I'm like, okay, look, here are all these text messages. And he said, well, the fan dinner doesn't start till like 2 hours after the media thing. So you can do both. I'm like, okay. So I'm going to try to do that. And then I get this voicemail from Ravius, and it says, hey, Regina is at the office, and she's waiting for you. She said to come to her desk and find her. She's waiting for you. She's going to give you a ride to the community dinner. I get this voicemail as I'm getting in the SUV to go to the media dinner. And I'm
Oh.
like, oh, crap. I had no idea. I mean, this was the first I'd heard that she was still sitting there waiting for me.
Yeah.
And I go to call him back, and my phone dies.
Jeez.
And I was like, oh, this is not awkward at all. So I go back to the PR guy, Emil, this PR guy that we talk to a lot, and I told him what was going on. I was like, will you please get in touch with her and let her know? Because I don't want her sitting there and finally, like, walking around the building and realize that I've just left. So he calls, and I go on to the media dinner, which winds up taking so long, and I don't make it to the community dinner. I think it was like 10 o'clock at night. Well, I get there, and they're all kind of smiling at me really funny. I'm like, what? And they were like, nothing. We were just trying to get in touch with you. So I get back to the hotel that night. Well, and that was the thing with Dan. I walked in there, and Dan, everybody's kind of, everybody has already eaten, and they're done, and they're just sitting around chatting. And Dan sees me, and he's like, Ruby! And he gets up, and we're like running across the bar toward each other. And it was like a big hug moment. Aww. So that was, and there was like a, and it all went into slow-mo, and there was a field of flowers, and
Birds singing.
yeah, totally.
Right.
So, but it was so cool to finally get to meet him. And he is, I mean, we've been saying what an absolute nice guy he is. There's not a mean bone in this guy's body. And he is such fun. He is even cooler in person.
Awesome.
Yeah, he was
That's
great.
cool.
So anyway, but they were all just kind of like, yeah, we're trying to get in touch with you. So I get back to the hotel. I plug my phone in. And once it gets enough charge where it can start up again, I turn it on and it just like blows up. I got seven text messages at 9:22 p.m. Dan had my phone number, and he passed it around
Oh, jeez.
like Regina and everybody that was there for the fan dinner. They all like mass texted me, like, get over to the tap house now. And then they started on Twitter. Then they start tweeting me.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I turned on my phone, and I had it on silent, so it's like buzzing for each text I get. And for each email, which is notifying me that somebody has sent me a message on Twitter. And it just sits there, and it's like, bzz, 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 and it wouldn't stop. So that was like, I mean, that was like my big fun fan evening. And I was so tired, I could not, I'm just sitting there, and I'm sitting at the table, and literally my head is in my hand, and I'm like slumping over. I was so tired. But I was excited to, I mean, I was like excited to finally get to see them, because that's when
Yeah.
the fun really started.
Okay, so what was this the next day?
This was Thursday night. I mean, this was
Oh,
all
okay.
like media day. It's just that I finally got to, when Ravius texted me at one point, he said, we are just trying to get you with your people. He said, we're trying to get you with your kind. Okay, so the next day, we all get to the office, and that's like when the fun starts. So we go in there, and a lot of this I had already seen, but I did not even care because it was so cool. So we get in there, and they show us the same cinematic as yesterday. And the cinematic ends, and there's the big crescendo, and the music stops, and the screen goes black. Everybody goes insane. There's like clapping and cheering, and I was like, now we're okay, this is it. So then I got to clap.
Did you like hesitate for a second? You're like, you stood up, you looked at everyone, you're like,
No
okay.
way, dude. I saw everybody's faces. I knew it was coming. So they gave, they kind of told us what was going to happen, and here's how we're doing this, here's how the tours, we're going to do the tour, this, that, and the other. And they start taking us around, and it's funny because, again, this was just part of the fan thing because everybody was so enthusiastic. I think within 30, 45 minutes, we were already so far behind schedule that the community team was like kind of starting to stress because everything we saw, we had to stop and take a picture and ooh and ah over it.
Yeah.
And we were like so excited about everything. I mean, the art on the walls, I took so many pictures of the art on the walls. I mean, there were like framed canvases everywhere, and they're enormous, and it's stuff that we've seen, stuff that we recognize. And then even just little prints of concept art pinned up here and there.
And you have pictures of all that in your photo album that you have linked on the blog, right?
Yeah, it's on Guildcast, and I still have like another 100 pictures to pull together and upload.
Oh,
But
cool.
they're for different topics. So I kind of segmented them so it wasn't just a giant blast of 500 images. I wanted them to at least make sense. More sense than I make when I'm talking anyway. But yeah, there are two photo albums already on Guildcast, and within the next 24 hours, I'm going to have a couple more.
Cool.
So let's see. We're walking around the building. Can I talk about the building a little bit? Because it actually is pretty cool.
Yeah.
the entire building is designed around what they wanted their team to be able to do. I mean, the interior of this office building, because it's not just, you know, okay, these art people work in their little room over here, and they never interact with anybody else. And these designers over here, they work in their little group. They don't want it like that, depending on what, I mean, it's got to be so dynamic and it's so fluid because depending on what issues crop up or what new projects they want to do, different departments, different people in different departments have to be able to work together.
Mm. And these are new offices, right?
These are their new offices, yeah. And they got to make these offices. It's like Guild Wars 2. They got to do what they wanted to do back in 2005.
So, did you see any Mesmer offices?
There was no Mesmer office. I'm sorry. I did try to go down one dark hallway, and somebody sapped me over the head. No. But anyway, so the way the office is designed is every desk that everybody has is almost like a self-contained unit. It's on wheels. The wiring in the building, it's all like right under the floor, and then there's plugs everywhere. So if, say, two people from Department A and three people from Department B, they need to get together and work on something, they can literally unplug their desk and roll the entire unit over to a big common area so the five of them can work together.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was awesome. And actually, Leslie from Curse and I, we noticed that on Thursday, and we were like, you know, those are on wheels. We could totally unplug one of those and just take it.
Just take it on the plane with you?
Yeah, they'd like never notice, yeah. I'm sure. So that was one thing that was extremely cool. The walls in the offices, all the walls are set up so you can rearrange them. I mean, the walls can move. And you can rearrange them to a point to make different office spaces depending on what you need.
Wow.
Yeah, so if it gets... And one of them... And I didn't hear... Somebody else was talking to me at the same time, so I didn't hear all of the details on this. But they were saying the light switches, like you can unwire the light switches if you move a room around and rewire them in a different position to make sure you've got the lighting you need.
Wow. See, that's crazy. That's like...
It was incredibly cool.
It's like they're starting at the foundation of making this game by making the studio itself just, you know, innovative and work-friendly.
Yes.
I mean, that's so cool.
Yeah. And, okay, and then the last thing about the just building structure, and I just keep going on and on about this because it's so neat. The lighting, I mean, the exterior walls are almost entirely windows, so you've got natural light like crazy, which I'm sure the artists love. But the lights respond to the exterior lights. If it gets dim outside because, you know, it's storming or the sun goes behind a cloud or something, the interior lights will brighten to compensate. And then if it gets bright again because the sun comes out, they'll dim a little bit. So you've got consistent lighting in there.
Wow.
It is absolutely the neatest workspace I have ever seen in my life.
Wow. I bet that's important for Seattle, too, when it rains.
Yeah, it's just... But you know what? They were telling me that that's like a total myth, that it does not rain all the time in Seattle.
And then it snows there and people freak out.
Yeah, they were saying that. They were like, one flake and the entire city shuts down. Schools are closed and all of this. But point of fact, it did rain twice while I was there. It was also sunny sometimes, though, so we're kind of there. Okay, so that was like the workspace. And then they have this... They've got this whole thing. Mike O'Brien was saying, you know, we want our employees to be in the zone. We want them to be able to, you know, and he said, what pulls you out of the zone is being hungry. And he was like, so we don't, they have lunch brought in every day for their staff.
Wow.
And everybody, it sounds like everybody pretty much kind of eats breakfast there. They have a cereal bar, they have a coffee bar, and then just like everywhere are like baskets of breakfast bars and cookies and crackers and stuff. And then there's like this giant tub of fresh fruit that they said they keep refilled daily.
Wow.
There's a bank of like six microwaves set into the wall so you can warm things up. Huge refrigerators. There's like a giant drink cooler with like waters and sodas and fruit juice and stuff. Mm-hmm. It is, I mean, you could seriously like just live there. So it is, and there are just a ton of open common areas and meeting rooms everywhere. The entire thing is designed around making an environment that you want to make a game in.
Yeah.
And that you want to be in. Oh, and there's a game room. The game room is so cool. And we'll get to that later. But there's like ping pong and foosball and rock band. And there are, I think it was eight. It was either 8 or 12, but I think it was 8. Big flat screen TVs and chairs where you can sit and play console games.
That's, I mean, not to downplay it, but that's actually pretty common in studios.
Is it really? See, I've never been in a game studio, so I was just like, oh, that is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's funny. In these game studios, they really like the people to relax and, you know, be immersed in games, so.
Well, yeah, if you don't want to be there, you're probably not going to make a very fun game. Oh, and
Yeah.
there was a big tabletop section too. I never even made it back there. But no, is that seriously like a common thing? I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean,
That's so cool.
like CCP Studio, they have an entire room full of like it's a giant library of tabletop books, and they have
Oh,
all these
cool.
tables set up with grids and maps and everything where they can let their employees go in there and play. And then they have a cafeteria, they have a chef, they have, so I mean, this kind of stuff is like really kind of common. You know, and like I said, not to downplay it at all,
Well, no, but that's so cool. I
yeah.
had no idea.
But it is cool. I mean, I like it. It's one of those things where it's like when people say they want to work for, you know, the game industry, and they don't even realize that how cool it really is, you know.
I had no clue.
But I think a lot of it is because those people are there like 16 hours a day. You know,
Yeah, they
they
are
kind of
there a
have
lot.
to. Yeah, they kind of have to have that stuff.
Well, yeah, you need them to want to be there. Yeah, so. Okay, so the office was very, very cool. We went down to, part of our tour included the sound, wow, I just completely lost the word, where you make the noise.
The sound booth.
Thank you. Yes, I was like, the sound thing, the sound something. And they were so excited about the sound booth because of how completely soundproofed it was. It is, it's directly underneath the server room. And it was, they took us all in there and shut the door and nobody was talking. And actually, this is how silent it was. My phone was in my purse and it was on silent and it buzzed. Every head in that room turned toward me because it was so stinking quiet in there. And he said, like, the floor of this room, it's not connected to the rest of the building. And I can't remember what he said they were called, but he said they're like skateboard wheels, like little rubber discs like that.
Wow.
And he said that underneath the floor of this sound booth is wall to wall those things. And that's what it's touching rather than the building.
Wow.
And it's just so
Fancy.
completely soundproofed.
Fancy.
It was pretty cool. The community group, we got in there and we recorded sound for the game. They said we were the first group to do any recording, to do any vocal recording in that room.
Wait, you got to record for the game?
We did.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
We did. And wait until you hear what I had to do, because you know how I hate being really loud and,
Yeah.
like, you know,
That's
they
the one
wouldn't.
thing. I don't know if you remember, but way back in Guildcast years and years ago, I was saying like the one thing that I would always love to do is record anything for Guild the next Guild Wars.
I forgot about that. Well, they're
Yeah.
not done yet. They are not done yet. So you should still get in there. But we had to do we did a lot of, we did all crowd noises. We did applause.
Oh, cool.
And it was funny because the guy, he said, you know, okay, I'm going to raise my hands, and that's when you all start clapping. Because what he's wanting it to do is sound like we're clapping at something that happened. So everybody needed to start at once. And we did like 15 takes of this. So he'd raise his hand and we'd all burst into applause. And then he'd do it again. And after like 5 takes, he goes, this is really good for my ego. So we did that, and then we had to do some booing. And that wasn't so bad. I mean, I was on board with that. I was cool with that. And then we had to do a lot of ooh and ah. And then we had to do like an ah and burst into applause.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was okay with all of that. That was cool. But then he was like, and we need some dungeon noises. We all had to scream. I mean, scream at the top of our lungs like we were dying. I was so uncomfortable.
Really?
I was in a small room with a lot of people, and I was in the back, so my voice would carry into the back of all their heads.
Oh, yeah.
And I am screaming bloody murder. I have never been, I was so uncomfortable. You know
Wow.
what? Coming out of the restaurant the night before, I tripped on a step and fell. I mean, you know how clumsy I am. I was less embarrassed then.
Wow.
And then we had to do, let's see, what else do we do? We had to do battle noises. He said, make noises like somebody just buried an axe in the back, in your back. So it was like, you know, oh,
Yeah.
like dying howls and groans. So then we're all doing that real loud, and I was continuing to be awkward. And then one of the people in the group, we're all doing this, and one of the people in the group goes, "Ooh, that's smarts." And everybody just like broke into laughter. So we did that. What else? And then we had to do like the beginning of a battle, like, you know, charge and roaring. And it was just a lot of yelling and screaming and bellowing, and I was so uncomfortable.
Wow.
Sometimes I just didn't do it. I kind of was like huddled in the background going, I can't really scream into the back of this guy's head anymore. I can't really make myself do that. So, and then the community team was watching us outside, and they said it was so funny because everybody was screaming and groaning and yelling so much that we were turning red, and there was not a whisper of it outside.
Oh, wow. That's
cool. They were watching through the window, and they couldn't hear a thing.
Wow. Well, at least they couldn't hear you, so you weren't that embarrassed, right?
I was totally uncomfortable.
That's weird, though. I would have, I don't know, I'm trying to relate and trying to think if I was doing that. I would probably be a little bit embarrassed, but I would be having a lot of fun. That's I don't know, that's interesting.
Dan like completely ran with it. He was like adding commentary to the stuff. We were having to boo the guy. Uh-huh. Yeah, we were having to do boo, and he was like, boo, what was that? You know, what's the matter with that guy? I mean, he just ran with it. He was a natural.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So, and then at the end they said, now we are all eligible for our Screen Actors Guild cards.
Oh, cool.
Which just cracked me up because, you know, that's something I've always wanted.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Get a little plaque.
Yeah. So we did that. Let's see. What else did we do? And the whole time, I mean, the community team, they're like, man, what you're cutting into your gameplay time. We are running behind. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. And it wasn't like they were being mean, but it was, you know, we were starting to cut into our gameplay time and they wanted us to be able to play. They showed us, we did get to see some things that were not on the media tour. We got to see the server room, which was super loud, which, again, it just floored me that you couldn't hear it in one floor below. Mm-hmm. We got to see the server room. The community team took us into the community manager area. And it was funny because there's this giant whiteboard, and none of us thought anything of it. But Martin was standing against the whiteboard, and he was talking to somebody, and we were taking a lot of pictures. Well, everybody takes a picture of him. And there's all this stuff written on the whiteboard behind him. And after we took the picture, he realized what he was standing in front of. And he said, anyone that just took a picture, I need you to delete it. Please, please, I need you to delete it. And I honestly can say I have no idea. The only thing I saw on that whiteboard that made any sense to me whatsoever was the convention schedule that we already know. It was like, it said like, you know, Gamescom and PAX Prime. Yeah. But I honestly, and I will confess that I looked at the picture before I deleted it. I did delete it. Mm-hmm. But I looked, I don't know, I feel kind of bad about that. But seriously, I couldn't help it.
Yeah, that's weird.
But there was nothing, and I totally deleted it. I think everybody did.
Did you see any word Mesmer on there anywhere?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But what I loved was that I think everybody deleted it. And I guess I should clarify before I sound too awful. I looked at it on the screen of my camera, like on the little LCD screen.
Yeah.
And then I deleted it right away. But what I thought was cool was that I'm looking around and I see everybody holding their cameras up deleting it. Mm-hmm. Because they had that respect for the community team.
Yeah.
And for what they're trying to do. And that really made me feel good. I was happy to see that.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. So we did our studio tour, and then we got to go play some Guild Wars, too. We also played Guild Wars, but that was later. We did the dungeon. We did the Catacombs dungeon. And it made me sad. It seriously made me sad because we went in there. We went into the Catacombs. We were in the Ascalon Catacombs. And, you know, I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah.
And the premise of it was that Air had gone down in there, Air Stegalkin had gone down in there, and she was stirring up the ghosts. And Ritlock was saying in the opening cinematic, I don't want anyone else to get killed because of her recklessness. We got to go in there and bring her out. So we go in there, and we're fighting all of these Ascalon citizens. I mean, you know, the ghosts from the Faux Fire. And it was simultaneous. It was kind of funny because there were monks and mesmers, because that's what they had back then. And the monks were using Ray of Judgment on us.
Yeah, I saw you pointed that out in the blog post. You're like,
yeah, I mean, we totally deserved that.
Yeah.
We kind of earned that. So there were mesmers. I got hit with blackout. I can't remember what else they used. But, and I said, and I was just, my gosh, I was making a joke, and then it just, I took some heat for it. I said, I can confirm that there are mesmers in Guild Wars 2. They are 250-year-old undead mesmers.
Yeah.
And they're not playable, but they are there. And there were some people who were like, oh, she just opened a can of worms. She should never have said that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
that was funny.
Gosh, you guys, come on. Nobody, I never confirmed. Come on, I was very clear about that, and it was funny, so just let it go.
I thought it was funny.
Thank you. but yeah, the monks using Ray of Judgment I thought was hilarious. That's like karma at work right there. So we're going through, and we finally find Air, and it turns out she's after Adelburn's sword. She's going to try to retrieve Magdar. And he's like that, and Ritlock's just thinking she's a complete idiot, and why do you even want it? And then it turns out she wanted to give it to Logan, and since you've read Edge of Destiny now, you understand that Ritlock was a little upset by that. And the whole thing, there was just this whole really, really tragic undercurrent to the entire thing that you'll feel if you played Guild Wars 1 and if you read the books. We got up there, we had to take on Kasha Blackblood, who was the Necro Trainer in Pre, Master Ranger Nente, who was the Ranger Trainer, and then Relina Stormbringer and Vassar, who were, Relina was one of the Ellie Trainers, and Vassar was the Mesmer Trainer. And now there are foes, and we had to take them on and kill them, and it was just, the whole thing was so completely tragic to me. And it made me really, really sad. Huh. Which, I guess in kind of a good way, because I was so sucked into the story that it just, I don't know if I want to do that dungeon again, is the thing.
But it's I think it's cool, even though it is sad, it's cool that it like evokes emotion, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It was so, so well done.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the dungeon itself, it was hard. This was a challenge, and it wasn't so hard that we got ticked off and wanted to rage quit. But, and two, we were level 27, and normally you'd have, you know, 27 levels of experience. Well, we didn't know what the heck we were doing. So we kind of got our butts kicked for the first half of the first try through that dungeon. But it was very challenging. I mean, you have to think on your feet when you do this.
Did you have anyone yelling press 6 to you?
Somebody yelled press 6 to me, yes.
Awesome. I actually did watch the video. You took a video of it, right?
Somebody did. That was not me.
Oh, okay.
But there
I saw. But you were in the video, right? Because you were
yeah.
in the team? Yeah, I saw an Ellie that died several times. I thought that was funny.
Nice.
Like, kept falling over. And I was like, hey, yes. There's Ruby.
Yeah, I totally... Oh, was that the one where the guy, like, practically had the camera up my nose?
No, it was you and Achar fighting an undead, or a ghost, and you kept falling, and they were doing something. I don't know. It was the Catacombs video, and we'll link all this. Well, it's actually on Guildcast already, in the blog that you wrote. But the ghost kept hitting the ground, and it was like knock you guys over, and then
yeah.
I think it got you to a down state at one point.
Oh my gosh, but, yeah. I was downed more times than I could count.
I was like, look, there's Ruby tanking with her Ellie.
Oh my gosh. It was, yeah, I mean, you really had to learn. I was bad, 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 bad at this for a very long time until I got used to it. But I did get used to it, and I was better. I mean, I was kind of proud to say that by the second day I was better.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I played an engineer some the second day, and I already have a favorite skill combo. Here's my skill combo. You lay down a wall of, it was a wall of napalm, like flaming napalm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got this big fiery, and then you use backdraft, which sucks your enemy through the fire and blinds and burns him.
Wow.
Which in itself is so awesome, but then you use air blast to knock him back through it again.
Oh, wow.
And it hurt him so bad.
That's cool.
Yes, but what's cool was the animation, because he like falls down and he's kind of helplessly tumbling through the fire. He's like rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like giggled maniacally every time I did it. I was so happy. I was like, oh, hurt, didn't it? Let's do it again. Ha ha! It was such a fun skill combination, and I abused it. I abused it so bad. But it was, I mean, there was an absolute learning curve there.
That's good to hear, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge, and combat is going to be a challenge. My problem at first is that I was a little bit hobbled by being a Guild Wars 1 player, because I tried to play Guild Wars 1 style.
What do you mean?
And that was funny.
Like you tried to look for a flavor of the month build?
No, but I wasn't moving around. I mean,
Oh, okay.
you can't move around while you're casting in Guild Wars 2, and I don't know how to do that.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
a muscle memory that I don't have. And as a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. My muscle memory is to not try to move while you're
Yeah.
casting, because it's going to cancel out your skill.
Yeah.
And it was very, very difficult for me to keep positioning according to the combat while I was fighting, because I have learned, it's so ingrained in me not to do that.
Well, that's good though. It adds like another dimension of combat, you know.
Oh,
And I
yes,
think that
totally.
I think we've evolved to that point. And I mean, a lot of games do that now where you have to constantly move around, but I think that's cool. I think that's a good it's a good addition.
Yeah, you're going to have to, I mean, it took some learning. It took some doing, and I think I still, by the end of the second day, I still was not used to it. It's something that I'm really going to have to work on when this game is launched. Let's see, what else? I'm trying to think what, there were so many cool little things. Like when my character, I had her doing grenades, and when she throws a grenade, she kind of goes, "Hur!" with the effort. And she's right. If she jumps down from a kind of high spot, when she hits the ground, like a puff of dust will come up. So,
That's cool.
and I ran around. I spent a lot of times running around doing stupid things just to see what would happen. I mean, seriously, I wanted to see. I was very interested in how all of the little details worked. So one thing, I flung myself off the edge of like a ledge or a balcony or something, and when my character landed, she face planted flat out on the ground, and a big puff of dust came up.
She get hurt?
Oh yeah, she took damage. And actually, another time, you know how sometimes I'm a little impulsive, just every now and again? Yeah. I'm running along, and I had grouped up. We were going to do the dungeon the second day, and I was like that nerdy kid that nobody will pick for kickball, so they have to team up with the teachers. And I had to, there were 15 people there for fan day, and then there was me. Dungeons are 5-man. And the devs are like, "So, Ruby, you already got to do this yesterday." And I was like, "I am totally okay not doing the dungeon. I will go, you know," and I was like, "You know what? I want to go look around Holbrook. So I'm totally okay not doing the dungeon." Well then, and I mean, I seriously, I really, I wasn't even doing that girl thing where it was like,
It's like,
"No,
no, that's fine.
it's fine. It's fine."
No,
Yeah,
really.
I wasn't doing the kind of fine where you know you're going to pay later.
Yeah. I'm
I
glad
was
you said that, not
seriously,
me.
I wasn't doing the girl fine. I was honestly kind of excited about having the freedom to go look around Holbrook, which I actually got to do later. But then I guess they kind of felt bad because they gathered up some devs to play with me. So I was the nerdy kid that the teachers had to play with. So we grouped up and we're kind of running around waiting. And Stefan, the French community manager, came over and was telling me, and while I was waiting, I was kind of playing with my skills, and he was like, "Hey, there are some fireflies down there that you can kill." And I run over to this ledge because it was like we were like up on a high spot. And he said, "And I think there's a place right here where you can jump over and jump down." And I was like, "Okay." So I jump. And then he was like, "And it's like 3 feet over." So 3 feet over, there's like a little ledge where you can jump over the fence and land on this little ledge a few feet down, and then kind of run back and forth and run down the slope.
But not where you jumped.
No. He was like, "You can jump here." And I jumped. And I took something like 4,000 damage.
Jeez.
And just bam, insta-death. I mean, you could tell he was kind of like, "And that's not where I was really meant for you to jump. Maybe if you had waited for 2 seconds, I could have told you where to go."
So, okay, so when you died on this, did you go into a down state or did you just instantly die?
Dude, I instantly died. I had to go to the waypoint.
So it respawned you?
It gave me the option to, I mean, it wasn't just like, okay, boom, you respawn at a res shrine. I could go into the map and pick my waypoint and respawn
Okay.
wherever I wanted. So I just went back up at the ledge where I jumped off like an idiot.
Oh, okay. So the waypoints are, I mean, if it was just up at the ledge, I mean, are there only a few waypoints or are there tons of them?
No, there is a reasonable amount. You're never going to have to run for like 6 days.
Oh, okay. Maybe five?
Yeah, maybe only five tops if you're slow. So there was, I mean, it was just a neat little mechanic. At one point, I was running around on a starter character, and I saw a house. I mean, I knew how there are like houses in Old Ascalon, and I was kind of like, I wonder. So I ran over there and I went in, and you can go in. And it made me think of the houses in Fallen Earth. I like ran upstairs to see what
Oh,
was there. And I'm wondering, I'm really wondering if this is like a little event that you can do that just hasn't been put in yet, or I didn't hang around long enough one, but I did hang around for quite a while. I went up to the second floor and I saw some NPCs out on a balcony, so I ran out on the balcony. And they were chatting a little bit, and it was a man and a woman, and the woman said, I just don't feel comfortable having all these valuables in the house. And then the man said something vaguely reassuring. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, valuables in the house? So I start running around looking. Well, you can go, you have the main floor, and then I went upstairs, and then you go all the way downstairs to the basement. And there were a couple of big, like, trunks down there, just kind of sitting in the corner. And nothing, so I ran back up, and I kind of waited to see what else they would say. And I talked to both of them, and I just felt like maybe I felt like there was some connection between her saying that and those trunks in the basement. But it was really, I mean, it was just really neat that you could go in that house and run all over and see what there was.
That's cool. And it was just in the middle of nowhere.
It was just in some little garden. I mean, you had to go in. There was a little event where you could help this person take care of her garden, and the house was like next to this field.
Oh,
So
okay.
it was just kind of there, and the only reason I found it in the first place was because I wanted to see if you could go in that house. So there's just all this little stuff here and there. And actually, the thing with the garden was funny because she was saying, hey, my workers are being kind of lazy, and I would like you to go motivate them. Well, I go to look at one, and they're dead. That was how, the way I needed to motivate them was to revive them. I was like, oh, okay. But then, too, some of them were just like standing there daydreaming. And you had to go over there and motivate them, and then they kind of got back on board and got back to work, got back to hoeing in the garden.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so
You
that
know,
was
I
cool.
actually that reminds me, I noticed in the in some of your pictures, you took pictures of a lot of the screens of the artists and everything, and one
Oh,
of them
yes.
had a like a an unfinished model that had a saw in its hand. And I was
Yeah.
I mean, did they say anything about that? 'Cause I first thing I think of is that's a like a crafting skill.
Oh, it's totally a crafting skill. The saw, what they were doing, that guy, and obviously it was just a still, so you couldn't really see, but he was sawing wood back and forth, and they were working on the animation of sawing that wood.
Oh, okay. But that is a crafting thing?
It looked like a crafting thing to me. I didn't talk to that
Oh, okay.
artist because they were recording like right next to me, so I had to be kind of quiet. But that's what it was just the it, they were just working on the sawing animation. And actually, I got to collect some crafting items as I was running around.
Oh, cool.
I found a, and you just kind of, as you run your mouse over things, you'll see that maybe they light up a little bit. You know what I mean? So I went over there, I chopped down a tree and got some wood, got like some logs. I collected sunflowers. And I asked Mike, I called Mike Z over and I was like, hey, so what are these sunflowers all about? And he was like, honestly, I don't know what the sunflowers are for yet. That's not my character that I'm playing with. I think he said he was like a woodworker. He said, my character's a woodworker, and that's not anything to do with sunflowers, so I don't really know. But I did get to collect some sunflowers. There were crafting nodes, and I saw them indicated on my mini-map, so I kind of ran over to see what was up with that.
So you could, even though, I mean, do you know what crafting professions your character was?
No, I don't even think I had one.
Okay, so I mean, that's what I was curious about. Like, if you could still gather stuff even if you weren't that crafting profession, and
Yeah,
it
it
sounds like
looks
it.
like you can gather anything. You know how, like, in Rift, you can't gather plants if you're not a
Yeah,
forager?
exactly. Yeah.
It looked like you could gather whatever.
That's cool.
Because, well, you know what? I know the one character didn't have a crafting profession because she was brand new. She was level one.
Now that's cool, but at the same time,
I hope I'm remembering that right.
it's gonna kill storage.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm like, okay, I hope I'm remembering that right. I'm pretty sure I am. But I did definitely cut down a tree and pick some sunflowers.
So okay, I'm probably gonna spend way too much time on this, but okay, so you cut
No,
down a
no,
tree. could you do anything with the wood, or was it just like now you have wood? And I mean, could you make like planks and handles and?
I couldn't find a way to do it. I hovered over
Oh.
it and it said crafting material.
Oh, okay.
It said, I forget what kind of wood it was, but it just said crafting material. And
I'm
what
just
was
want.
cool. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I'm just wondering how involved it was. If it's like Worm Online involved with crafting, or if it's just
Woo!
kind of. I mean, it sounds kind of like maybe it'd be like LOTRO or World of Warcraft, where it's just like you can make components and then put the things together. I mean, I don't know. I'm totally reaching here, but
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was doing too. Like
yeah.
looking at that guy sawing wood, I'm wondering if that's just like an NPC who is doomed to saw that board until the end of his days, or if that's some kind of a crafting animation.
Yeah,
So I
that'd be
don't know.
cool.
But it was cool when I chopped down the tree, and there weren't any other players. We were all we'd kind of come together here and there, and then run off and do our own things. We'd kind of form and reform, but there wasn't anybody around. I wanted somebody to run over and confirm that after I cut this tree down, it was still there for them.
Oh.
I mean, they've confirmed that the node only
Yeah.
disappears for you, but I kind of wanted to see it in action.
Yeah.
I did the motion of chopping down the tree, and the top of the tree, like. The part with all the leaves and branches, that broke away and fell on the ground, and then the tree kind of faded away for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the animation was kind of neat. I don't know if it's complete or not, but it looked pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that was like all the crafting I got to play with, but I did get to do some crafting stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was awesome. Let's see, what else? I don't know, ask me something, 'cause there's so much.
Oh, okay. So, well, that's the catacomb stuff. What about the underwater stuff? You did quite a bit.
Oh,
You did a
duh.
blog post on the underwater stuff. So, why don't you talk about
That's right. Okay, thank you. Thank you for giving me direction.
that?
I had really been wondering about underwater combat because I didn't know how it was going to work and I could not imagine what they were going to do with it. I knew it would probably be cool, but I didn't know how. So we all get our characters and we're getting in there. And one of the devs said, okay, so you guys, there's, if you want to check out underwater combat, there's a body of water directly to your left. And that's like as far as he got. And then there was like this mass stampede where
It
everybody
was
went running.
like the wildebeests on those nature shows, just
Yes,
all.
totally. Or maybe lemmings. So I jump into the water, and here's how this worked. I jumped into the water and immediately swam under, so I was completely submerged. And as I do that, something catches my eye at the bottom of my screen. I look down, I realize I have all new skills. And I went,
Nice.
oh! Oh my gosh! And then I look, and my character's got what almost looks like a gas mask. It's a every headpiece in the game. Here's how this works. Every helm in the game comes with a breathing apparatus. And when your head is underwater, it's automatically applied, and you can stay under indefinitely.
So does that only apply if you have a helmet? Or
Well, I assume so, but since you kind of start with a helmet,
Oh, okay.
I guess you're good. I mean, as far as I don't think you have to do anything to get this. You just get it.
Oh, okay.
It just exists. So I got under there, and I'm trying to think what some of the cooler skills were. I had one skill that would boil the water around my foes.
So cool.
And there was another one
And
that
you're an Ellie, right?
I was an Ellie,
Yeah,
yeah.
okay.
There was steam, where I could like burn and blind my foes.
Nice.
Lava chains. Lava chains was cool. You can immobilize a group of enemies using lava chains.
Nice.
There was one where you could surround your enemy with a bubble, and it would force them to float to the surface.
That's cool.
Which is cool if like melee. I mean, if something's like
Yeah.
beating on you, and you can do that and give yourself some time to regroup.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. So I'm kind of checking out my skills, and I'm swimming around. Oh, and your weapon changes when you get underwater. I didn't have a staff anymore. I had a trident.
Oh, wow. That's
Yeah.
weird.
I mean, the whole goal was to like make it make sense. Because seriously, how stupid is it to shoot a fireball underwater?
Yeah, I think about that. Like, I'll be playing Rift and I'll be underwater shooting arrows at fish and they fly at the same speed as they do above water, and I'm like, yeah, how's that work?
Yeah. Well,
That's cool.
I thought that in Rift too, and I actually really like the underwater combat in Rift, and it's mostly because I like the sound effects. I think they're kind of cool. Everything sounds muted like you're underwater, but at the same time, I'm shooting a beam of electricity at this fish, and I'm like, I'm shooting electricity in water. Why am I not killing everything in this lake?
Yeah, it's that's That's one of those things that are in a lot of games, and they kind of hope we ignore that, I think. It's kind of
Yeah,
funny.
but ArenaNet is, this is the first time I've really seen a strong effort made toward making it make sense,
Yeah,
toward
that's
making it
cool.
work. I was very impressed. I wanted to explore. I wanted to check things out. Stupid sharks kept coming after me. Also, my group was kind of waiting for me. And I'm like swimming all around. There seems to be a huge, huge, huge area for exploration down there. I mean, I saw a big elaborate shipwreck, and I
Were there
didn't even get to look.
like levels, like you could go down into like caves and different levels of like reefs and wreckage and all, I mean all that kind of stuff,
I
or?
saw a lot of things that looked like that. I saw like some caves and some overhanging rocks where you could get under in there. And I just did not, I flat did not have time, and I did, and
Yeah.
there were too many sharks. But I was swimming around, and I see something out of the corner of my eye, and I look, and it's quaggan. So I go swimming over, and they're just kind of chilling at the statue of Milagan. They have the Milagan Chapel there, is what I found,
Nice.
and it was like area discovered, Milagan Chapel. And they're all kind of hanging out. They're just kind of swimming around, doing their little quaggan thing. And I ran up, and anytime you get close to an NPC, you get an option to press the F key and greet them.
Oh, okay.
And then they'll maybe talk to you, or they'll maybe give you a little something to do, or, I mean, I clicked on this one, I greeted this one, he goes, "Nice shell." Which I just thought was so
Yeah.
funny. And I'm kind of swimming around looking at stuff. Well, then some pirates showed up, and I look over, and this made me so sad. I look over, and I see one of the quagga, and he was going, what did he say? He said, "Please, please stop hurting quaggan."
Oh.
And I went, "Oh." And I like had to go over and save him because God love him.
Are there like save the quaggan movements? Like t-shirts and
There should be, if there are
yeah.
not, there should totally be save the quaggan movements.
We should make Guild Cash shirts like
I think I would buy one. I would like buy a bunch of those. But yeah, I mean, he just looked so pitiful. I mean, you've seen them. They just look so
Yeah.
sad and helpless anyway. And he's like, "Please stop hurting Quaggan." And I was like, "Yeah, stop hurting the Quaggan."
I'm sure that's some kind of event, probably.
I hope so, because
Yeah.
bless his poor little heart. I just wanted to save him and then give him a hug. So, and they didn't Hulk out. I need to know what
Oh, yeah.
it takes to make them Hulk out. So I didn't get to find that out. So anyway, after that, I was like, I had screwed around like way too long. My entire group was over there fighting pirates, and I'm swimming with the quagging. So we went over there, and we had to, and it was just a little event over there where we had to clear out a pirate camp. And that was, I honestly just did not see much of that because I was downed most of the time. I was really, really bad at that point. That was like the very first big battle we had, and I was horrible. But I do know we had to clean out a pirate camp. And I kept getting wrapped in a net and being immobilized. And then they'd kill me, and somebody would res me, and then they'd kill me more. So that was a good time. That kind of sucked.
Oh man, I wish somebody was there to take video of it and then they could make fun of you instead of me.
Well, they can, seriously, I need to be made fun of, you guys. I was so bad. So please, feel free to make fun of me in the comments. I really, if you weren't there, I totally earned it. I was awful. Man, okay, Sean was like a 10-year veteran of this game. I mean, his thing at GDC, that was so much better than anything I did that first day. It was truly, truly embarrassing. But it was fun, so I
Yeah.
didn't care that much. Okay, so we had the pirate camp. Let's see. But the underwater combat, you're not really slowed down. Let's see, you've got the breathing apparatus, you've got the new skills. When you surface, you have no skills if you're swimming in the water and your head's above water. It's like a transitional thing. So you've got your land skills and you've got your completely submerged skills. And then surfacing is a transitional thing where you don't have anything. If you are downed underwater, it's not a downed state. It's not like fight to survive and you get your downed skills. You have to swim to the surface.
Oh.
And you'll swim to the surface and you'll regain health over a few seconds. But what's cool about that is that there's another skill, and I honestly cannot remember, I don't know if every class has something similar, but there's an underwater skill where you can attach weights to your foe and drag them down, which in combination with this thing with swimming to the surface, if you're downed and need to swim to the surface and your opponent slings some weights on you and drags you down, you're going to die.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
See? Yeah, so it's like, I mean, there's the whole thing, they're strategizing, and you're going to have to think. You can't just stand in the back and sling fire like I do in Guild Wars now.
Do pretty fireworks and make everyone think that you're doing something.
Totally. It's not going to cut it. I mean, they are, that's the thing, they are really making you work. You're going to have to think, and you're going to have to figure this out, and you're going to have to be reactive to the battle around you.
That's cool.
Yeah, which I liked. So underwater combat, pure awesome. I did not see anything I didn't like, except the stupid sharks that would not leave me alone because I really wanted to go check out that shipwreck. And I did not get to that, but I will.
Yeah?
I so will. Once so there was underwater combat.
Cool, cool. Yeah. I'm so excited. I mean, I hear about this stuff, and it's... We talked about this a long time ago, that there are things that we're sure ArenaNet's going to do that we didn't even think of yet. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to surprise us with things that we didn't even think about yet. And this whole, like, you know, we've heard about the changing skill bars, you know, with items, and we're like, yeah, okay, that's cool. But then it's like, underwater, changing skill bar, of course. Like, that only makes sense.
Yes.
You know, with everything else, and it's like, why didn't we think that they were going to do that? You know?
Yeah, totally never occurred to me. I mean, the moment those skills changed, that's like I said, I was just like, oh, and they went, of course, just like you said.
You know, one thing I'm curious about, this might have actually been addressed, I don't know, but did you have, like, a radar map with red dots on it for enemies?
I don't remember seeing the red dots. Now that you say that, I don't remember seeing this. I did see my allies. If I was in a group, I could find my allies that way.
Okay.
But I don't remember seeing red dots, now that you say that.
I'm just wondering, like, I'm picturing it, and I'm picturing being underwater, and like, these sharks are probably, you know, most MMO combat and you know, mob mechanics are, you know, mobs standing around doing nothing. And it seems like sharks, it would actually... Like, that would make sense, you know, because they're swimming around, and they're kind of looking for things to eat. So I'm just kind of picturing them, like, being kind of off in the darkness and the seaweed and, you know, the caves and stuff like that. So that's why I was wondering if there was a little radar map where you could see them on there.
But wait a minute. You know what? They were not on my radar map. The foes were not on my radar map because I remember looking at my map and to see where my party members were. Mm-hmm. And that is all. That was the only moving thing I saw in that. And then, like, 2 seconds later, out of nowhere, a shark hit me from behind.
Oh.
And I was actually completely like, what is that? Where did that come from?
I'm looking at your pictures now. I'm flipping through these pictures of your underwater combat. And, yeah, I don't see any... I see the blue dots on your radar for the... it looks like the quaggan. I'm on the screen with the quaggan. And it looks like... It's showing those. I'm looking for another one of the UI. I'm flipping through these. I see one. No, that was something else. I'm just kind of flipping through these, but I just see the blue dots. So.
Yeah, I was completely shocked when something hit me.
That's cool.
So that's, and I guess that kind of makes sense. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
You wouldn't want to see them coming. Yeah, those blue dots are my other party members. Those are the people in my group. If I'm not in a group, I don't have those.
And there's like a treasure chest.
Oh, yeah, the treasure chest. Let's see. Where is that, like, the little sparkling? I'm not sure which image you're on, but is that like the little sparkling treasure chest?
I'm on 28 of 47. It looks like there's a treasure chest in the mini-map, in the little radar map.
7, 8. Let me get there. Yes, okay, this is such a cool thing. And I'm not sure of all the mechanics of how you get this, but it is, I think it was called a feat chest. It was like if you do something cool for the first time, and not like, you know, hey, I changed my armor. But, like, I think I killed a certain amount of something, or I killed a certain enemy, a species that I hadn't killed before. And you get this thing, and you open it, and there are... I kept getting XP coins. I don't know if there are other things, going to be other things in it later. Mm-hmm. But you take those XP coins, and all of a sudden you get a ton of extra XP.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what that little treasure chest is. And I guess, cool. You know, my hero panel is in the way. But that chest was actually physically in front of me, and I opened it, and those coins popped out, and I took them.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was... I had forgotten about that. I'm glad you looked at that.
Yeah, I'm looking at these pictures. I was going to see if there was anything, because these are things that that you're talking about, like, oh, there's the quaggan saying nice shell, and we have these linked on the blog post for the underwater combat. So you can actually look through these. I mean, you can see the skills that you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, orbs of experience. There we go. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
It's totally interrupted you, but there.
No, that's cool. And you can see it looks like there's the green arrow for which I imagine is the quest, because you have the quest dialogue in the top right
Yeah.
corner. It says exploring Gundaren Fields, I think that's what that says. And then there's a green arrow on your mini map, so I guess that points to where your quest is. And then it has the greet and F, so you press F to greet, and then that's what you did. And he says, "Nice shell."
Yeah.
And then you have, let's see, it looks like you have your, yeah, the different skills you were talking about, the underwater skills. And there's number two, looks like boil, the boil one you're talking about, the
Yeah, isn't that
bubbles.
cool?
And then, oh, here's the one for swim to the surface in the down state. And then it gives you four skills in your down state, but it's a swim to the surface state. And that's cool too. And didn't you mention, I think you mentioned in here, let me see if I can find, oh yeah, the four, you have grasping earth, where you summon hands that erupt from the ground and immobilize your foe. These are your
Yeah, my down skills.
down skills. Yeah, discharge lightning, vapor form, and help me. But those aren't the underwater ones, right? Those are just
Right, those are the land-based down
land.
skills.
Yeah, okay.
Help me summons an ally. I mean, it's like, yelling for help, and it makes you invulnerable for a short period of time, so that's helpful.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one with, oh, okay, here we go. There's a picture of you there. You have a Quaggan with a like a shield icon over his head, and it looks like on the mini map there's a shield on the mini map. The same exact shield is on the mini map. And then there's a bad guy off to the side. What does it say? Cutthroat Spectre? I can barely read that.
I think it was a pirate.
Yeah, and then there's a char, it looks like, that's red as well, but those are not showing up on the mini map. So
Yeah.
that shows you right there. And then there's a big orange circle around your area, and it looks like that is corresponds directly with the quest that's also orange. Oh, I see what it is. The quest has that little shield on it too. It says, "Defend the Quaggan Passkeeper from the pirates." So
Oh, okay, so it was a quest.
yeah, so that was a quest. It looks like the same shield icon is on the quest. I know they don't want to use the word quest, but
Yeah, you're not supposed
it's on
to.
the quest title, it's all over the Quaggan's head, and it's in the mini-map. So it kind of shows you the three things there are all related. And then it has that orange circle around the whole area, I guess showing you that that's the area that he's in. But it doesn't show the enemies in
Yeah,
red.
it all like corresponds to pull it together so you
Yeah.
understand what's going on. And I feel like at this point I kind of should apologize, but seriously, this was 48 hours of total sensory overload and it was impossible to take everything in. And I'm looking at these, and I mean, I'm looking at stuff you pointed out and I'm like, I never even noticed that.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's when you're playing it's hard to
Yeah,
get
so
all that
thank
in.
God I took screenshots because seriously, it was impossible. There was no way to take all of this in.
Yeah,
Which is probably why I'm
that's
so bad
understandable.
at this. And actually, if you go forward, I do have a screenshot. Oh, you can see my trident there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And in 19 of 47, you can see the Quaggan saying, "Please stop hurting Quaggan."
Let me see. Oh, yeah, I do see. Yeah.
Poor little thing.
That's actually, yeah, that's the one I was looking at. I didn't see that on there. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
So,
that's really cool.
yeah, so the underwater combat was just absolutely incredible. It was so neat. And there's the nice shell. The Mulloggan statue, I just thought it was really beautiful. I mean, in kind of a decaying way. But I just really love the art down here.
Yeah, I do too. I like that.
Yeah. And off in the distance, on screenshot 22, you can see one of those treasure chests floating off in the distance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's my orb of experience.
Oh, and here, you mentioned this in the blog post too. In number 9, I hope people can follow along at home, because we're noting these numbers. But on number 9 of 47, it has you, your head immersed out of the water, or
Yeah.
out of the water, and then your body is submerged, and there you don't have any skill bar.
Right, I have no skills.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're kind of half and half, it's not going to let you do anything.
Yeah. And do you notice the water splashed on the camera?
Yeah, the splash
I
of the
love
little
that.
drips. That is
Yeah.
cool. It's like Age of Conan, but they do it with blood.
Ew, do they really?
Yeah.
Well, also, and my character has clothes on, so that is different from Age of Conan also. But yeah, that's the thing where you have zero skills and you're just healing if you need to, if you're downed.
Yeah.
And can I just say how completely gorgeous this character was? It was random,
Oh, yeah.
and we still weren't allowed to play with character creation. But doesn't, I mean, the facial construction of these characters is amazing.
Yeah, and it's so, like I was looking at this, you have that picture with pretty close up on the face, and it looks, I mean, Guild Wars faces are incredible anyway, Guild Wars 1, you know, and it looks like they have the same style, you know, that kind of
Yeah.
realistically, you know, not 100% realistic, but real, you know, it's pretty good looking, and it's like the same kind of style, but it's, you know, advanced a little bit. I like that a lot. It's really cool.
Yeah. Let's see. You can see in the farther screenshots after I'm not underwater, that's the pirate cove that we were trying to destroy. So you can see I didn't get a lot of screenshots because I was dead so much, but there you go.
And you have pictures of the mask too, the breathing apparatus.
Oh, yeah. And I like that. It looked good.
And you know, I point this out too because I was actually wondering about this when you said helmet. I was wondering, well, what if you have like one of those Ellie things that are just on your forehead, and that's actually what you have, and you have the mask as well. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So it doesn't have to be like a helmet. That's just cool. Oh, I have a question. Okay,
Okay.
if you look at number 29, right
29.
there,
Okay,
it
29.
looks like everyone has the same types of robes on.
That was pretty much the default armor, yeah.
So you guys are all beginner characters, right, at that point?
No, these are mid-level characters. That just is what they came with.
Oh,
And
that's weird.
actually, if you look, there's another screenshot where you can see my level. I think I was 27.
Yeah. I'm curious. I mean, I just, I don't know. It looks like everybody's dressed the same. I don't know if that was part of a quest or.
No, it's just that's just kind of what it defaulted to, and I honestly have no idea if that is. I assume by level 27 you're going to have a lot more options,
Yeah.
so I also assume that they just created one default item and ran with it, and just said, "Here's what we're going to use for the demo."
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, it defaulted to red, and of course I was happy with that, so I just left it. Some
Yeah.
people did play with the die system. And some people like colored their armor and fiddled
Oh,
around with
okay.
it. I did not touch the dice system because I knew I'd sit there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
I made a point of not going anywhere near it. I will do that if I ever get my hands on this game again before launch.
So these last probably 10 or 12 pictures are those all ArenaNet pictures? They don't have a UI on them and they look really professionally done.
Oh, yeah, the really pretty ones, those are not
Yeah.
me.
Okay.
Yeah, they gave us the way they did this, we all had to bring flash drives. They said bring something at least 2 gigabytes. And then while we were doing the tour, Emil collected all of our flash drives, and when he gave them back, they all had new assets on them.
Oh, okay, cool.
We got these, and then we got some really good catacomb screenshots, and we got a couple of videos. And then this is what was so cool. When we sat down to play on Media Day, every computer had Fraps on it, and they started up Fraps. They said, "Take as many screenshots as you like. Take anything you like. Nothing here is off limits."
Wow.
And then at the end of the session, you can put them on your flash drive before you leave.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yes, I took 286 screenshots.
And like you said before, you have more to put up, right?
Yes, I have more. I
Yeah.
went into, well, it was the second. No, it wasn't the second. I don't know. It doesn't really matter when it was. I'm like focusing on I went into the Norn starting area, and I wanted to see the home instance. So I have a ton of screenshots of the Norn home instance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was so very awesome.
I cannot wait to see. Yeah, I mean, and you're going to put up, like you said, also, you're going to put up another, at least one more blog post with
I
all
actually
these.
have two more blog posts
Two
that I
more?
want to
Okay.
do. I want to talk about Holbrok and the Norn instance, and then I have kind of like a little hodgepodge of cool things that I saw and cool pictures that I took
Cool.
that I just think our listeners would kind of like.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, that should, and again, that's going to be, like, I don't even really have to link it in the show notes because it's one of those things that you can just scroll back through Guildcast and it's right there. The big long blog posts that are, you know, usually the show notes are really short, but a big long blog posts are all from Ruby that she wrote while she was there. So
I talk a lot.
definitely. Well, no, it's good. I mean, definitely
Yeah.
check those out. It's some pretty cool stuff in there. And there's videos linked in there, and there are, you know, of course, the big screenshot gallery. So.
Yeah, and I'm going to have more. Actually, it's funny because I'm so used to the way we do this on Massively. Mm-hmm. And when I was writing, it was driving me crazy because it was so long, and I wanted to put most of it like behind the cut so it didn't take over the whole page. And I was like, I can't do that. So it's just going to have to be a really long entry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, I do have more coming. I just honestly have not had time today.
Yeah. Well, cool. So. Yeah, I think, I mean, this probably, we're recording this on Sunday night, so it probably won't even come out until Monday anyway. So you have a little bit of time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right now I have not even been home for 24 hours, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just, it was pretty crazy.
Well, cool. I mean, was there anything else that you can think of that was something major to talk about?
Well, let's see. You know what? I talked to, they had a party Friday night there for the community people, for the fan day people, and it was just, it wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't like a big fancy, you know, put on your high heels and your cocktail dress. It was just in the offices, it was in the ArenaNet building, and it was just, hey, devs, get out there and hang with your fans. And they catered in a meal, and we all had dinner and all this stuff. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, so it was just a very casual, you know, sit and talk. And it's funny because, I mean, I knew during the tour, we were so excited because in every room where they were working, you know, I have all these pictures of the screens. In every room, they kept saying, you guys, walk around, look at stuff, take pictures of anything you want. And we were all just like, oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, you're just not used to that.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, Tirza Bauer was working on a Silvari dungeon. And I got all these pictures of the Silvari dungeon environment.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and see, that's something, that's one of those things that I need to upload. That's part of that little hodgepodge of stuff. Yeah. And then I was talking to Kristen Perry. We were kind of hanging out and at the party, and she said, we did have to be careful about what we showed. Oh. We couldn't, and she said, while you guys were there, I was sitting there painting the same tunic that I painted a few months ago. And she said, she's like sitting there working on the color, and she's like, man, I got other stuff I need to be working on, and I can't do it right now.
So it was kind of like, yeah, I know what you mean. It's like they could only show, like, so everybody, it's not like everybody was just working on their stuff. Like, they had to be specifically,
well, they had to be careful.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, oh, and you know what? I have a really funny story that I don't think is like a big secret because it's probably going to be like on G4. There was this one, I saw this creature being designed that just fascinated me. I mean, like, Daniel Dochu was talking, and I stopped listening to focus on this monster. That's how cool it was. It was this Orion creature whose torso, and I can't remember if I've uploaded these pictures or not.
Yeah,
his torso was a giant gaping maw.
Yeah.
It was so cool, and he had his hands, and then there was almost like, it almost was like, he had on the part around his neck, it looked like part of a diving suit, you know, with like the big metal collar. Mm-hmm. When you take off the diving helmet, that's what it looked like. And then he had his regular arms. Well, nothing about him was regular, but he had his, you know, main arms. And then coming out of like his upper chest were two tiny arms, and they were like hanging on to that diving collar.
Oh.
So the whole thing, I mean, it was so terrifyingly cool that I'm looking at it, and they had an animation of him. The second screen had him in an animation, and he would stomp up, and his torso would roar, and then he'd turn around and stomp away again. Well, one of the devs was telling me later that G4 was interviewing him, and he's not, she was saying that he's new to the country. His English is not the best. Mm-hmm. So the G4 guys were like, so when he gets hungry, does his stomach growl? And the artist, he was like, well, I suppose it could if he got hungry. That's not really my department. I mean, you'd kind of want to talk to the sound guys for that. But I don't really think we have, like, a hunger function in the game.
Oh.
And the G4 guys are just like, not really where we were going with that. So she said they, like, fed him the line then. And he was still like, no, I don't really think he gets hungry. So that was like one of my favorite stories from the party. And I felt so bad for him because I just,
yeah.
And honestly, I did not even realize that his English was spotty because I went and talked to him. I was like, what is this creature? Tell me, what is this? And I honestly did not notice like a big accent or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just super friendly and conversational about what he was making. And it was neat to see how excited they were.
Yeah.
And they were all just so happy that they could finally show this stuff off.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was kind of awesome. Let's see, what else? And now it's just like, you know, just silly little things. I've never played Rock Band in my life. And we were sitting there talking at the party, and I mentioned that, and like three of them were like, get up, come on. You're playing Rock Band. So that was like my fun thing. I was like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to teach me how to play this game. Yay!
That's such a like information overload, playing Guild Wars 2 and then Rock Band. It's like,
oh man. Well, you know what? Here was the thing, and I was absolutely shocked at myself as this was happening. I played so much Guild Wars 2, I had to get up and step away.
Wow.
I was completely
overloaded. Who am I talking to right now?
I had had 6 hours of sleep in 2 days. Oh. I had been hunched at a computer screen. I probably got in like six, I got in hours of game time. I'm not even sure how much. My eyes were burning. My back hurt.
But see, that's getting you ready for launch day.
Oh my gosh. I was just so incredibly, I mean, I literally stood up. Because they were starting an explorable mode dungeon. They were starting the catacombs explorable mode. And they asked if I wanted to come. And that explorable mode, that's like the really hard one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you guys, I need a break. And I stood up and I walked over to the corner where some people were just hanging out. And I literally sat on the floor and leaned against the wall and just sat there like chatting with a couple guys from the live team. Mm-hmm. I just needed my eyes off of the screen.
Yeah.
And would you have imagined that would happen?
I think that means you're getting old. I hate to break it to you.
But I got old like 10 years ago. That's not new information. But I seriously, it was right after we did some Winds of Change content. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we were done, I stood up and walked away. I was like, I just have to not look at a screen for a few minutes. I'm so overloaded.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just total sensory overload. And those guys, they spent, I don't even know how long. I think they finished that dungeon. It was not dark outside when they finished the dungeon, and I think it was maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock at night when they finally got it.
Wow.
It was so hard. I went down to the game room. I went and got some more snacks, and then I just went in the game room and played Rock Band and talked to people for a couple of hours. I needed to not look at a computer screen.
Yeah.
So it was, oh my gosh, it was just insane. So there you go. What other questions do you have? Do you have anything?
No, you know, I think
I can't imagine what else there is. My voice is like going.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's a lot. Like, we could even do this, you know, if you think of other stuff, we could do another show, you know, at some point. And you know, we were talking about the other co-hosts. I'd like to get some other people on here. And maybe we could do, like, a part two at some point and have other people ask you questions you know, burning questions that they have.
That would be fun.
And just exploit you as much as we can.
I would like that. So, can I tell about the t-shirts? Can I talk about our t-shirts?
Yeah.
This is funny, because actually I want to talk about the swag, and I'll make it really, really fast, because this is like a super long episode. But we're walking around, and you could see, you know how like you know there's a present for you sitting there out in the open, but you don't want to look directly at it, because it seems kind of rude?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, they had these giant swag bags, and there was one for each of us, and they're on this big, long counter. And we're walking around that part of the room. We're walking around that part of the building. Nobody will look directly at the things. But we knew they were for us. And then we walk around, and there are five piles of t-shirts. Five or six, however many. There's a bunch of piles of t-shirts. And Regina was like, okay, you guys, we have small, medium, large, extra large, and 2XL. Everybody go pick your size. Everybody gets one. And on the front, they were white t-shirts, and on the front, you've seen the team, the ArenaNet team t-shirts, the white ones that have the big logo down the side?
Yep.
On the front, wrapping around to the side, they have that big 2. Mm-hmm. And then on the back, it says VIP. I'm actually wearing it, so I can't really see for sure. I'm trying to look around.
You haven't taken it off yet?
No. No, I actually put it on. Well, I'm just wearing it. It's a long story, but I'm wearing it. And on the back, it says VIP. And I think it's like ArenaNet Community Day, and then it's got 6/24/11. It's got the date.
Oh, wow.
These are the coolest t-shirts ever.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And then in our swag bags, it was a Guild Wars 2 canvas bag, like a black bag with the logo. We each got this huge piece of art It's a numbered art print from Daniel Doheny, and it's signed.
Oh, nice.
So we each got the, we got the Guild Wars art book, the Guild Wars 1 art book,
Oh, cool.
a Nightfall art book, a big bag of skill pins. What else? I'm
Awesome.
trying to think. Just some random concept art, a mouse pad, and I'm using the mouse pad. I love it so much. And just, you know, lots of other little odds and ends. Then we were all sitting in the press room later, and the press room, the wall that leads out to the common area is all windows. I mean, you can just see right out there into reception in the common area. And Stefan, we're all sitting there eating lunch, and Stefan, we look up and we see that he's walking toward the room with a giant cardboard box. Every head in the room is like trained on him because we're like, what's in that box and is it for us? So he comes into the room with this box and he starts taking out giant handfuls of 8x10s concept art prints. This big box was like full of those.
Wow.
He spreads them all over this row of tables. He looks at us and he goes, take anything you want.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a stampede.
I think everybody listening now hates you. I think that's
Oh, they didn't already? I've not been doing my job. Okay, so here's what I have though. I have Gwen concept art. I have Gwen in her cool armor. Not the nighty, but the other cool armor. And it's signed by Kristen Perry. I have Livia and Master of Whispers concept art. And what I wanted was Elias. I wanted Elias so I could hang my Sabway team above my desk. And I could not find, there was no Elias.
Oh, man.
So, and then I have an Asura piece done by Matt Barnett. I have the Mesmer Hero. I have her concept art. Or I'm sorry, the henchman, the Mesmer henchman. And then just like I have Elder Rhea. I mean, I got like 20 prints because there were just hundreds. Oh, and I have an Oink piggy bank.
Oh,
Like
nice.
you can
I like your actual pig bank.
well, you can cut it out and make an Oink piggy bank. I'm not cutting it out. But it's oink, and you cut out all these little pieces and glue them together, and you have a piggy bank. Is
Nice.
that not like the coolest thing ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was okay. So that was our swag, and it was very, very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sorry. This was like the longest episode ever, but there was a ton to talk about, and we should do it again sometime.
Yeah, I think, like I said, we should get kind of a second, like a part two kind of a things at some point, and you know, get some other people to ask questions, and also, you know, if anyone wants to ask, you know, specific questions that I haven't thought of or, you know, you haven't mentioned, definitely email us and let us know. We do have quite a backlog of email to read, that we should do at some point. We should record again soon,
Yeah,
but yeah, definitely ask us questions, and we'll try to see if we can, you know, have Ruby answer those in the future.
ask me things. I'll probably remember. Again, it was just total sensory overload. There are things that I can't remember that were probably really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I do that too. I think everybody does that. It's like
Yeah.
so much, and you can't.
Yes.
I mean, we've been recording for what, hour and over an hour and a half, and
Have we? Oh, holy crap, we
yeah. So I
have.
mean, it's like not even, you know, probably not even touching on everything, I would imagine.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it was ridiculous how much there was.
But I mean, it's still really cool that you got to summarize it all, and you know, then we got to talk about that because, you know, not too many people got to do that, and then not too many people have a you know, like a fan site, you know, a podcast where they can get on and talk about it. So I think this is probably going to be, you know, really important for Guild Wars 2 fans to listen to and
Definitely.
kind of see, you know, a lot of the stuff that they were wondering about. And again, if you have other questions, email us, and you can email Sean, Shawn at guildcast.com, Ruby, Rubi at guildcast.com. Also check out our main page, which is just guildcast.com. We also have Twitter and Facebook, but you know, definitely get a hold of us, ask away, and we will read those emails on the next show.
Yes, totally. So
So yeah.
I did have one email that wanted to know why the Guild Wars Collector's Edition is $1,000, and I just feel like I should answer that real quick. It's not, we don't know what it's going to cost, but it's not that. So wherever you heard that, it's silly.
Yeah, where did that come from?
I don't know. But anyway, so Guildcast.
All right. Yeah, so that was awesome. Thank you for speaking 90% of the show.
Thank you for letting me rant and yell and fangirl. That felt so good, even if my throat hurts now.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you all next time. So until then, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.